Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. What we have right now is a crying Matthew Jackson in the corner of my room. He's a little bit upset because we film every Tuesday. Well, more or less, unless there's something that we both can't do. We have filmed on Mondays, but I have football training. That's actually, I had my last football training of the season last night. So that stopped. We also film sometimes on Wednesday. But obviously, it then means that the podcast is out late. But I'm also a part of an F1, the game, an F1 league where we are racing the whole season and we do one race a week. And there's about 10 of us. It gets put to a vote every week. What day can you do? And Tuesday won the vote. Not a lot I can do about it. So obviously, Matt being the only person on the planet that works, he works until 7 o'clock or something like that. Gets home at 7 o'clock. So I said, look, this is the only day we can do. I am racing at 8. But try and come round as soon as you can.
Tell the listeners properly. Basically, if we couldn't do it at 7, you're going to can the podcast so you could go on racing.
Look, you guys that know me personally, which might not be many of you, but I mean, like, if you know me from my days on a previous podcast that I used to be part of.
Yep.
I'm a competitive guy. Now, the last thing I want to do is not turn up to this and give them an advantage next week. You know, I risk losing 25 points or 26 points because, you know, normally I get fastest lap. But, so my point was, I would happily have done it tomorrow. Oh, no, I can't.
But you can't do it tomorrow because you're out tomorrow night. So this is a thing.
Hey, valid excuse. My cousin is down from, lives up north.
Yep.
Don't know where, but you know, just like anywhere that's like north of London is up north. But he is proper up north, like northern. And I'm meant to be playing pool with him and Corey tomorrow night, my other cousin.
Yeah.
So my point was, you're the boss at work, right?
But I know where you're going with this, but that makes no difference.
Answer the question. You're the boss at work, right? That's what you told me. So unless you're lying and you're not the boss.
I am the boss at work. However, I still have a job to do. So
did you not go to the horses before you came home today?
I didn't go to the horses. I came straight from work to here.
We haven't even been home.
No.
Yeah, care to prove that?
How do you want me to prove it?
What if I told you I was tracking your car? No, my point is that, look, there's more than enough time. 50 minutes, right? We haven't got... That doesn't mean you're going to get a lackluster episode. It doesn't mean you're going to get undersold. We're going to give you 50 solid minutes of solid gold shit.
But also, I want you guys to realise that actually I care about you more than Luke does, because he was ready to can this episode this week because so he could go and race.
I'd like to see the receipts of that. Okay. Do we have proof?
Yeah.
Where?
So let me read the messages.
Read the messages. You see this conversation. This is eating into your valuable 50-minute podcast.
No, they want to know this. They want to know this. Right. Where was it? You said yesterday.
Was it me who wanted to can it, or was it you?
I have a race tomorrow at 8 and then I'm out Wednesday evening. Okay. I won't be able to make it until 7. So what you want to do? No. Surely we can make that. I'll have it set up and just start a 50-minute episode.
No.
Who wants a 50-minute episode?
Pull this back, right? What did he just say? He just said, I wanted to can the episode. Not true, right? So.
Well, because
I said that and you said, because you just changed what was said. I will read this out verbatim. This is what is written.
Yeah, I said, do you want to cancel the episode? Because I don't want to rush it.
Matt said, okay, I won't be able to get to you until 7. He actually said, yeah, like YA. So you want to cancel filming? I said, surely we can make that. I'll have it set up and just start straight away. 50-minute ep. I would just like to say that you've just been lied to in plain sight and we have caught him. I am committed. I have turned up. I have wanted to make this work. I never suggested we cancel it.
You've just given me a 50-minute window. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes time is tight. I'm free all day.
But okay. Oh, okay. This is another thing then. Guys, honestly, we're not actually beefing. It's just how you've just come to the thing. And actually, because we're quite real with you. You said you're free all day. So you said yesterday you were going to do a TikTok today.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do it?
No, my point is...
So you're free today?
No, no, listen. My point is, if you were home during the day and you said, can we film at 12 in the afternoon? I would say, absolutely. Because I would then have to make up the hour later on, right? But because I've worked throughout the day, I've got this.
I can't believe we started a podcast.
And then going into the race.
Anyway, let's get into the podcast. No one wants to know this. Welcome along, everyone. Hope you had a good week.
I haven't finished my intro yet.
Well, actually, I'm taking over. It's a different week. You change the rules, I'm making it. So welcome along to Racecast. We are the number one Apple fantasy sports podcast in Sweden.
Number five in Uganda. And I want to address my Ugandan brothers and sisters. Welcome. It's actually nice to know that we are global.
Yeah.
We are a global podcast, believe it or not. And I think the TikTok, Instagram and Twitter has carried us here. So if you do want to get involved, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Just search Racecast, particularly TikTok and Instagram. That's where it pops off. It is very active. And there is like going to be slowly a new stream of content in terms of how we do it. I got like a cool little camera now. It does make it really quick and easy to do. So yeah, do get involved because we are constantly pumping out content there. And obviously, wherever you're listening in the world, if it's Uganda, if it's Sweden, Argentina. If it's Argentina, anywhere, give us a 5-star rating because it does make a huge difference. And I like to think that maybe that's why we're getting to number one in Sweden. For example, where are we in the UK now?
Because seventh
UK viewers, listeners, give us 5 stars, right? Get involved. It does help us out, and we do want to. It might just be the fantasy sports section. I don't care. We want to be number one everywhere, particularly in the UK, which is our home country. But anyway, we are actually gonna crack on now.
Up to number six.
Nice. Hopefully you enjoyed a little insight into what life is like outside of the podcast.
And one thing is actually we could have just not had this conversation on podcast, but actually we like to be real with you, and this is how it is. And sometimes Luke drives me mad. Obviously, I've known Luke for many years, and for years he's drove me mad because he always thinks he's right. But anyway, let's talk about F1 news, shall we?
Before we go into the news, given that we are the number one fantasy sports podcast in all of Sweden, that's the whole of Sweden.
Yeah.
Number five in the whole of Uganda.
Yeah.
Number six in the whole of the United Kingdom. How did you do this week? Obviously, for those that have just joined, maybe you don't know about F1 fantasy. But much like FPL, you can create an F1 fantasy team.
Ooh.
We've obviously done that. We've created our own league. And it's getting pretty exciting. I'm not going to lie. We made some changes last week, which we shared with you all on the podcast. I'm not gonna lie to you all here. I actually made a secret change that I didn't disclose on the podcast. I said I was going to put Charles Leclerc in. And at last minute, I actually swapped that for Sergio Perez.
Ooh.
So I made a big mistake there.
Well, interestingly, after we spoke last week, I actually forgot to change mine. So I didn't change it. So I had a bit of a stinker. So when we're looking at the leagues, I ended up... So I'm now number 45. I've now gone down to... I know I'm not. I'm number 21. So Lewis Hamilton got me minus 38 points.
How the hell? Right. How the hell can he get minus 38 for his car breaking down? That's not a personal performance error.
So basically, I got race not classified, minus 20 points.
Fuck.
And the weekend, another. It says 19 points. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that means Max Verstappen is going to. God, that's lucky I took Lewis out.
Well, yeah.
But otherwise, I would have had Max and Lewis in my team.
So the only thing that saved me, Ferrari got me 92 points. So I got 146 points this weekend, which I don't actually think is bad.
I don't understand how this app works. How many points did you get?
Okay, 146.
Really? I got 131.
So Charles Leclerc got me 38. Piastri got me 21. Gasly even got me 5 points.
Wow.
Albon got me 4.
Yep, I got Albon.
Ferrari got me 92 points.
Yep.
And Racing Ball got me 24 points. Good old Tsunoda. Most definitely, isn't it?
Do you have Tsunoda in your team?
No.
Or Danny Rick?
No.
No.
I have the actual team.
So I put Hulk in. He got me 11 points.
So that's all right.
This week. Yeah, but I took out the Racing Balls and put in the Haas, and they got me 20 points. So I would have been 4 points better off. Yeah. But I did, like I said, I took Lewis Hamilton out. I don't understand. How has Max only got minus 20 and Lewis has got minus 38?
I'm assuming because he got pole on a Saturday.
Oh, so that's given him some points. Well, I got, as I said, 131 points overall. The team, I don't think I'm going to rush to make any changes at this point. The team obviously stands as Max Verstappen, Nico Hülkenberg, Sergio Perez, Alex Albon, and Valtteri Bottas. Now, Bottas is the only one that, if I could change, I would.
Yeah.
But I don't actually think I can afford anyone else. Where does that put me in the league? How do I 15th. See the league?
You are 15th. Are you Martin's mega movers?
Yeah.
You're 15th.
But how do you see that? I don't understand how this app works.
So, let me...
Oh, I found it. Yeah. Racecast.
Then you go to here.
Yeah.
Click on... private... No, is it not private league? One of those leagues?
Do you see what I mean? It's a very difficult...
Yeah, well, I can tell...
Oh, Racecast. Public. I found it. Holy. Okay, nice.
So you've dropped, actually. You've dropped to 15th. So you're on 463 points. I'm on 408.
Yeah, I'm like almost 200 points behind P1, so I might as well just stop now.
Christ, yeah. I am... What are they on? Do you know there's actually a thing here called... a team called I Hate Ocon. It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Well, it's very straight to the point.
Well, yeah. But good old John Silla, take a stroll, 640 points. That is... Actually, he's number one and two.
Has he got two teams?
Three teams. He's a fourth as well. What the fuck?
How do are we admins? Can we kick him?
No, I can't. Oh, he's got his team is relatively. Oh, hang on. So he had Perez.
I'll tell you what. He had three teams in the top five for points this weekend. Yeah.
So his team, which is top, got him 201 points. So Ferrari got him 92. Red Bull got him 32. Perez got him 44.
How's he afforded Ferrari and Red Bull?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got Gasly and Joel and Magnussen. So, I mean...
He's getting all his points from the teams.
Yeah. Yeah, the true. Yeah. Because he's relying... That's actually not a bad idea, actually. That's quite a solid...
There you go. Here's your top tip for the week, right? If you're in F1 Fantasy... Invest in two good teams. He's only got one good driver, this guy, in Sergio Perez. He's got Lance Stroll, who's going to pick up points along the way. And then he's got three stragglers. So that's got to be the way forward.
Oh, that would have made it even funny if I Hate Ocon actually put Ocon in his team.
Yeah, that would be irony.
Right, should we let us know how you got on this week? 146 points. I'm quite happy with that, to be fair.
Yep, that is not bad.
That's quite solid. I do think, with how Mercedes are, I may have to question about taking out Lewis, which makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, I made the executive decision to remove him last week, and luckily it paid off. Not his fault. We'll talk all things Australia in a little bit, but I believe we actually have some interesting topics to cover.
Yeah, so... Funny enough, the first one is Danny Rick.
Yeah. I've seen this news floating about.
Yeah, apparently it's false, which I've read today.
I have also read that.
Yeah. So Danny Rick has come out and basically said he's not where he expected to be as he rules difficult opening three races for a Racing Bull. And obviously he had a tricky day in Australia started off in qualifying. They all thought he got through into Q2, thought it looked quite good, and then he got knocked out because his lap time deleted. And may I just say, he was well off. So that lap time, he was off.
No, I mean, rules are rules. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're not going to change it just because he's the home hero, or is he anymore? Oscar Piastri has entered the chat. But yeah, no, he was off. And I mean, I guess watching that, like at the time, I did feel a little gutted for him. Like, there is this thing about Danny Ric where you kind of think, oh, it's not sad to see, because I don't want to say that, like, I pity him. Like, I feel bad for him. It's like, why isn't it working for him?
I just think it's not, he just hasn't got it now. And
yeah, that is probably the sad reality, is that he just,
I think there was so much hype last year about him, kind of like, oh, you know, he's matching, you know, Sergio Perez or Max's time in that Red Bull and that test when he did at Silverstone. And everyone was like, whoa, you know, Danny Ric's back. And for me, it's always been quite hard to get back on the hype, because I never really felt like he's shown enough to go, do you know what? He's a top team driver.
Well, I mean, he fell off hard as well. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people say, oh, if he had stayed in Red Bull, he would have had a better career. I don't actually think that's the case. I think he just got found out very quick when Max Verstappen came into the team, that actually he was not a top-class driver, if that makes sense.
Yeah, although I feel like you're going to get stick for that, because people are going to argue, well, 2014, he came in and beat Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
But I agree to some extent that I think he showed really what he was about when he ran away from Red Bull because of Max Verstappen. No, that doesn't necessarily make him a bad driver at all. But like,
and just to touch base, all these drivers on this grid are good drivers. You know, I couldn't do what they do. And we're not saying, when we say bad drivers, we're saying, Well, yes, Sergeant, yeah. we'll get onto that one in a minute. But I just think, you know, when you look at this weekend, just go back to Bahrain. Bahrain, you know, when it's funny because a table came up and it showed, you know, head to head with Tsunoda, and it showed that, you know, Ricciardo's beaten Tsunoda in one race and Tsunoda the other. But actually, Bahrain, the only reason he beat Tsunoda is because of team orders.
That's an unfair statistic, isn't it?
Is it? Well,
yeah, there's on Tsunoda, like, for them to pull that up and be like, well, it's 1-1. It's like, well, not really.
No. So, and you kind of go to yourself, well, actually, it was team orders that allowed Danny Ric to go past Tsunoda.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, in Saudi, he was off the pace again. Heading into this weekend, I mean, I feel like the team have kind of made a bit of a mockery of him, because I don't know if you saw the tweet which they posted. And
actually, haven't. What are they?
It basically came out, great performance from Daniel to make the moves and come so close to the points. He'll get them next time. Like, I feel I'm not being
funny.
Where
did he finish in the end?
I think he was P12.
Okay. And he actually finished a bit closer than I thought.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, two cards did DNF. You know, Stake F1 did another long...
we're going to have to talk about that, because what the hell is
so,
wrong with
you know,
that team?
I know he finished P12, but there is... You've got to take it with a pinch of salt, in the sense of two cars did DNF in Hamilton and Verstappen, and Scholl and Bottas had really long pit stops.
And his teammate finished P7.
Yeah.
His younger, inexperienced... how do I say this without meaning it? His worst teammate. You know, the media narrative, or like the story that is portrayed, is that Danny Ric is this savior coming down to AlphaTauri, or whatever the hell they're called now, who's then going to be taking Sergio Perez's seat at Red Bull, the top team, the pinnacle of F1 at this point in time. And Tsunoda's dunking on him.
I would argue the case that Tsunoda has shown more in the last couple of years than what Danny Ric has shown in probably his last five seasons.
Yeah, Danny Rick's not really showing anything.
No. And, you know, this whole speculation that he is, you know, in line for the next Red Bull seat, I feel sorry for him, because I feel like you've put him on a pedestal, and in our eyes, we're literally just seeing him fail.
Yeah, so they've kind of added all this pressure to him because this is this. If it goes wrong, the rumor floating around that we initially started talking about, I don't think we ever actually mentioned, was that Daniel Ricciardo apparently has two more races left to prove himself. He must improve his performance over the next two races, which is Japan and Miami.
Yes.
Where are we going? Japan and China. It's somewhere. Otherwise, he's going to lose his seat, and this has apparently come from Helmut Marko.
Japan, China.
Yeah. To me, it does seem a little harsh. I mean, I'll be completely real. To give someone what would that be? Four races.
Five races.
Does seem a little bit like, come on. But then when I look at it from the flip side, I think, okay, this is Danny Ric. If he is this driver that a lot of people perceive him as, he shouldn't need five races to get into the swing of it to be beating Yuki Tsunoda, who, granted, is a very consistent, decent driver, but, you know, he's never going to be a world champion. Chances are he'll never be a race winner. And that's absolutely fine. Like, we get these drivers. I'm saying he's a very good driver and he's a solid driver to have at AlphaTauri. But this is Daniel Ricciardo, you know, the man made of gold who is coming back to F1 after a rough time because, you know, he hasn't been treated right at McLaren and he looks underfed according to, you know, all this media shit that Christian Horner was saying. And now he's coming back and he's actually not quicker than Yuki Tsunoda, only finished ahead of him once because of team orders. And off the top of my head, he hasn't out-qualified him this season. He's been out-qualified all three times.
Yeah.
So from that side of things, I think, well, yeah, maybe they are right to get rid of him. He's probably on higher wages. They're holding back the development of Liam Lawson, who came in last season and was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Who is young, so he has an excuse if he's not finishing ahead of Tsunoda every race or if he is slipping up, which he didn't, by the way. So it's like, yeah, look, let's just act quick. This is an experiment that went wrong. Get rid of him.
And I saw a stat the other day that actually Danny Ric's gaps between him and Tsunoda or timing-wise is actually slower than Nyck de Vries last year.
Oh, what? There's bigger gaps.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong. It's by about 0.3 or something.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, with Nyck de Vries going, they were very quick to get rid of him. I think it's a very different issue now. Is that actually Christian Horner has invested a lot of time in Danny Ric. So I think this whole rumor of them they'll get rid of him after that, I don't think will happen. But the issue is that, like we've always said, you've got these drivers who is missing out on key development times, like the likes of Liam Lawson, who has gone above and beyond and shown that he can do it in an F1 car way more than what Danny Ric can. And my concern is actually if Danny Ric doesn't turn this around, you won't see him in F1 again.
This is it for Danny Ric. And
that's a lot of pressure. And I feel really sorry for him for that, because that's a hell of a lot of pressure. And to go, actually, if you don't perform now, this is your last job.
Yeah, that is it. And don't get me wrong, from a personal point of view, sitting here, it probably sounds quite harsh, us ripping into him like this, but I'd love nothing more than a fairy tale ending of he smashes this season and then does get that Red Bull seat next season. I think a story like that would be incredible.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to happen.
No. But do let us know what your thoughts are on Danny Ric. Another interesting story from this weekend, Williams. And I really don't know how to feel about this, because in FP1, if you don't know, you obviously probably do, Alex Albon, let's just say, wrote off his car. They phoned the insurance company, said, look, can we get it repaired? They were like, no chance, mate. That's done. That's gone. Williams didn't bring a spare chassis to the Grand Prix.
What the hell is that about?
I'm not being funny.
Of all the things that they've got, they've obviously got a checklist. That's got to be quite That's got to be up there with, like, passports.
Yeah, but also, I'm not being funny. If you have... I understand if it's not Red Bull and you kind of go, actually, our drivers pretty much keep it on the track. You've got Logan Sargeant in your team. That's enough to say, actually, bring three shuttles.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. Like, yeah, they haven't got the fail-safe of, like, oh, we've got two top-quality drivers. Yeah. They're not going to crash. But
actually, Sargeants go slow enough that actually...
Even so, saved. I imagine the Red Bull boys...
Why do I struggle to say that? Chassis? Chassis?
You struggle with quite a lot of words. Chassis. I feel like they probably brought a spare chassis.
Yeah.
What's going through their heads when they think, should we bring the spare car just in case?
No, lads, no.
Leave that back.
Yeah, leave it at the garage.
More room for sun cream in the suitcase.
Exactly.
Like, that, honestly, is the most mental thing. And obviously, it led to what you're about to tell everyone.
So, yeah, Alex Albon wrote off his car. Basically, they said they couldn't repair it in time. And then James Vowles came out and said, we've made a decision that we're going to give the chassis of Logan Sargeant's car to Alex Albon for this weekend. And that meant Sargeant wasn't racing. He took part in FP3, and after that he didn't take part in...
Did he do FP3?
No, he did FP2.
It was announced after FP2. But they halted his FP2 session early, didn't they? They brought him in.
They were like, don't crash the car.
Get it.
So... There's two aspects to this, okay. Was it right that James Vowles did that? I understand he's doing it in the best interest of the team, in the sense of, okay, who's more likely to get points here? Alex Albon, granted. But on the other hand, this goes back to what the argument which we said over the, you know, winter break. Why do you have a driver in your team if you're not confident enough that he will go on and get points?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
And I think that's the point. I think from a team point of view, like, James Vowles absolutely made the correct decision.
Yeah.
Albon is a far superior driver. He is the only man in that team who's going to get you points. From a man management perspective, it's probably destroyed Logan Sargeant.
It's not a great look. It's embarrassing.
But then going back to the team side of things, why the hell do you have a driver that you don't trust? Like... I genuinely don't believe that would happen at any other team.
No, I've never seen it.
No.
Well, it's probably obviously happened, but I've literally never seen it.
At this point in time, no other team on that grid would that happen to.
No.
And Max actually said quite a funny comment. He was like, if that happened to me, I'd already be on the plane home. So, yeah, I mean, if he's not good enough to score you points, just get rid of him.
And, you know, going back to what Max said, Logan Sargeant's in a difficult position because he hasn't got that credibility to go, do you know what? I'm off.
It's easy for Max to say because he's Max Verstappen.
Because if they started going and Max was going, they'd be like, oh, crap. But he's in a position where he's kind of, I have to toe the line here because they could just get rid of me. They've already shown that they have no play for me.
It's like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, when you were younger and you wanted to break up with a girl or something and you sort of start an argument hoping that they're going to say something like, well, maybe we should end it then. And you're just like, yeah, I think we should actually, because you're too scared to break up with them. Yeah. And it's a bit like that where it's like, I wonder how far we can push him until he actually just leaves us.
And he will never do that because he will just continue being...
I feel like there will come a breaking point where he's like, I can't do this anymore, surely. But I do feel like he will last the season there because you've committed to him already this season. Yeah. I don't think they're going to change that, but this will be his last season in F1.
On the other hand...
Mind you, they gave Latifi a lot of time.
He wasn't as bad as Sargeant, though, was he? He was. I mean, in his earlier seasons, he wasn't as awful.
Yeah, but, I agree with that.
Yeah. I also have a bit of respect, quite a bit of respect for James Vowles, because I think as a team principal, that is a very ballsy move to go, do you know what? What is the best interest of the team here? Because, and he knows... I mean, granted, Alex Albon went off, he didn't get any points in the end. And it's
he finish P11. Yeah, it was close enough.
But the thing I like about James Vowles is he's not scared to make these decisions. And actually, he's gone in there and he's like, look, you know, I'll do the best interest of the team, not just the individual. So it's a double-edged sword, really. He did the best interest of the team, but obviously, Logan Sargeant, that's globally, that is a very embarrassing story.
Yeah, for him. I mean, it's humiliating, and it is. To him, that's going to say, oh, right, that's the level of belief they have in me. But then, to some extent, it's like, yeah, be realistic, mate. Like,
what, but he should also know that.
Yeah, like, come on. Well, what have you actually done?
I am shit, so I'm quite lucky that actually they're keeping me around anyway. So yeah. I might just go and keep my mouth shut.
For him, it was a free holiday to Australia, so I don't know what he's complaining about.
I'd be quite happy having that job. Dom, he's a racist. No, honestly, don't worry. I'll sit this one out.
All right, cheers.
Yeah, happy. You're still paying me, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
You're getting paid.
Well, this is incredible.
That is quite literally the best job in the world. If I was Logan, I would be, I don't know, putting pins in Albon's tyres every week just to make sure he crashed an FP1. And be like, do you want my car again?
What do you do, though, right? If you get home, right, and your parents go, so how'd you get on this weekend? What do you say?
No, I mean, it's the grown-up equivalent of, he stole my lunch money. Like, I wouldn't be telling anyone. I'd be like, I'd come in and I'd be like, do you watch the race? They'd be like, no, we're going to watch the highlights. Like, don't bother.
No.
Don't watch him. No.
Engine failure. Lap yeah. two.
Yeah, just went wrong. It wasn't me. No. Definitely wasn't me. No. Something wrong with the car. But I did start the race. So I don't know why you asked that. Obviously.
And qualifying, an FP3, all yep. of it.
I did it all. But no, you couldn't have him watch it. What's he going to go tell his girlfriend? They stole my car. Like, how do you say that to her? That is... Do you know what I mean? And this is where I felt so bad for him when that news came out, because I just thought, like...
I thought it was a joke at first, because when they put it in the group chat, Andy put it in the group chat, I was like, that's a joke, isn't it, surely?
I was imagining, like, if something like that happened to me and all the boys in the group chat would absolutely eat me alive. But, like, for him, that's his life. So, like, you're just having your life absolutely mocked.
I did think, for a split second, out of the whole people in the group chat, I would be Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be me that's something that would happen to me.
And that is, would you tell Vanessa?
Oh, no. I'd say I was close to winning the race.
definitely don't watch the highlights.
One of my best races. Oh, watch it. No, honestly, don't. I'll tell you. So lap one was really good, really good start.
Let me talk you through. More authentic, isn't it, if I sort of tell you the live story?
No, honestly, I'll sit down and pretend. Get a plate from the kitchen. I'll show you how it went.
There's just no coming back from it. And he's probably going to get dumped as well.
Yeah, embarrassing for him.
But as much as we sit here and take the piss, like I genuinely feel really bad for him. And there was a big part of me that thought like it was completely unacceptable for them to do that. And I actually believe if I was team principal, I wouldn't have done that. But do I think that it was in the best interest of the team, as in Williams, not the physical humans in the team? For Williams, that was the best decision to be made. So maybe that makes James Vowles a better team boss than I would ever be. But
I also think, okay, you know, you're realistically fighting for one or two points. Albon made a mistake. He's the one who crashed his car. For one race, you could probably take the hit. And I know it makes a difference at the end of the season, one or two points.
And that's the thing. I think that's what you could argue on the flip side of, well, yeah, they are only racing for one or two points, but actually... That one or two points is the difference between X amount and X amount in terms of sponsorship and prize money.
Did you see that video? You remember that he was on this Hive Performance podcast a while ago and I told you about it. And
James Vowles.
Yeah. And, you know, James Vowles was like, you know, 2024, break anything. I don't care. And all of a sudden you see Albon go, challenge accepted. But luckily Albon was absolutely fine. But let's quickly get into race, because I know you haven't got long, because you've got to get filming shortly in 20 minutes.
We have. Oh, wasn't very quick at math then. 15 minutes to talk about the race.
I might watch your qualifying see how you get on. But anyway, let's touch into the race. Qualifying was qualifying. Max Verstappen, pole position. Shock. Very good lap, you know, even though he comes over the radio, I'm struggling with this, struggling with that. He still goes off and puts like a stonk of a lap, where it's a 2/10 quicker.
Yeah.
Than Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz, who looked, the Ferraris looked very quick all weekend.
You've always, and I want to touch on this quickly. Have I not said Carlos Sainz? I still stand by what I said, in the sense of I think Carlos Sainz is going to become a better driver than Leclerc. And it's interesting because a lot of people were actually tweeting this over the weekend, and I was like, this is what I've been saying. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. Carlos Sainz, honestly, looks like a whole different driver. So even since last year, in his win against in Singapore, he's the only person who's won a race in the last year and a bit.
Other than Max and Sergio. So why is he 7 points behind Charles Leclerc?
I'd probably say because he missed a race.
Very fair point. I can't argue that one. I mean, that is factually correct.
Martin Brundle came out and said if he had started in
Jeddah,
he generally believes he'd be leading the world title now, world championship.
That is probably also factually true, looking at the standings.
Yeah,
I think Sainz is having a great
season. You really thought you had me there, didn't you? You really thought that was a good response.
I did.
Why didn't he actually win? Why is he
not? I forgot.
But that's why he missed a race and he's only 7 points behind.
No, he's having a really good season. And I think I was valid in my criticism of him, because particularly from the 22 season.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I completely agree.
He was poor and Charles was a lot quicker in a car that was actually very capable of fighting for a world championship for a long part of it, of that season. But yeah, he was, him and Charles were pretty much on par with each other last season. He got the race win. There's something to me where I still just think Charles has the edge on him, but he's definitely proving to me so far, granted only three races in, that actually he has got that inside him. And I'd like to see him. What I would like to see now is him actually go head-to-head with Max. In a race. We've seen Charles do that properly. We got like a good dose of that in 22. And I think I'd like to see that from Carlos.
I think, you know, just finishing off on quali, I mean, the biggest shock really was Lewis Hamilton going out in Q2.
Yeah, I mean, we say shock.
It's not really a shock
at this point, yeah, it's kind of not a shock. It's just kind of...
Well, Lewis even came out and said it's becoming like the normality now.
That car is so fucking shit, man.
It's awful.
And I saw a tweet that said George's quali lap was quick enough to put them on in P1 last season. So essentially all they've got is like the best car from last season.
Brilliant.
So they're a year behind on development, fantastic, the times would suggest.
And every time Toto Wolff comes out, I'm at that point now where I don't really believe any of it. I'm kind of like, you know.
Wait, and did you see the quote where he said, I want to punch myself in the nose? And I thought, do it, please. And film it.
Should we talk about the race? Because quali is quali, you know, is what happened. Let's talk about the race. So I didn't get up at 4 a.m. I actually got up at 6 a.m. to watch the race because I was like, get up, see what it's about.
Yeah, it was not, I think qualifying suggested it was not worth waking up at 4 a.m. for.
But out of the group, I was the one who watched it first.
I woke up at 7:30.
Yeah.
Came down and watched it.
So starts happened. Max got a lovely start. And I generally did think to myself,
oh, well, that's it.
Yeah, I know I did. And I was like, what am I doing? Because I think halfway through the lap, Max was about 1.2 seconds ahead. And I just thought to myself, what is this about? This is just ridiculous.
Glad I set my alarm.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Carlos was catching up. He was a lovely overtake on the outside through the DRS zone at the back. And I was like, whoa, okay. But then I didn't get too excited because then I thought to myself, okay, I've seen this story before.
Yeah, Max will just get him back.
Just getting back. So I didn't get too excited. And all of a sudden, Max, even with his issue, even before knowing his issue, was still in the second window. So even with Max's issue, he was still quicker than half the cars behind him.
Yeah, and no, it was pretty impressive because he said it was like driving with the handbrake stuck on.
Yeah.
And he was still getting the car around the track in pretty good time.
I was thinking, I was like, if you've got a handbrake on, what is going on behind? Because...
Because you could see for at least a lap, he was like driving around with smoke coming out of the rear right.
I initially thought it was like something like engine because I couldn't really see. All I saw was smoke, but I didn't know if it was just blown to side. And all of a sudden, you just see him start slowing down. And I'm thinking to myself, this is weird. What's going on?
I was like, obviously, praise the Lord.
His last DNF was in Australia 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So he DNF'd. Apparently, the brake was just stuck.
I actually saw today it was... I think it was to do with a brake caliper that wasn't put on properly or something. So it was an error when like rebuilding the car after quali. Yeah.
Which is interesting because did you see Max in the garage?
No.
Because when they were in the garage, he turned around and he was going, he said effing stupid basically and walked off.
Effing stupid.
Yeah, okay. You know.
Wait, sorry, we've got the explicit.
Oh yeah, fucking stupid basically.
Yeah.
And then he walked off. So he looked quite mad. So I initially thought, okay, is this something that the engineers have done? And he's literally just really peed off with the engineers.
It was, you know, there would have been someone at fault for this. That's what I was reading.
But then after that, he calmed down. He looked like he was all fine, whatever. But obviously...
Well, he was going to match his record of 10 wins in a row.
Yeah. Which is mad. Yeah. Which is just mad. And don't get me wrong, like, it's not the fact that... the only reason I... enjoyed seeing him go out is because I was thinking to myself, okay, Max is now out, we're going to see a different winner. That was the only thing for me. Would I have liked to see actually Max stay in there and actually Carlos Sainz go and beat him fair and square? I would have loved that. I would have been delighted with that. You don't want to see any of the top drivers go out because you want to see them all go head to head with each other. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a lot of talk after that. They think Ferrari still would have won the race. Perez came out and said, oh, Max would have still lost to Sainz. That is rubbish.
That's him covering his ass because he's slow as fuck. Do you know what I mean? That is absolute fucking bullshit. If Max Verstappen was on that track, he'd have won the race with absolute ease, partly due to the car, partly due to the fact that he's unbelievably quick. Perez has the car. He just drives like Miss Daisy. That's a him thing. So I don't know why he's dragging Max down with him, because that's out of order. I'd be fucking pissed off if I was Max and I read that. I think, fuck off.
What are you going to do? Going to debrief. Sergio, what did you say about me earlier? Nothing, Max. I said you would have won the race easy.
Well, I never said that. I'd be like, go on, say it again.
Sorry, Miss Person.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would have pissed me off.
That would have drove me mad. But after that, Max went out. Carlos was very comfortable in that position. He held the gap well.
This was my thing. I don't know if you saw, guys, I posted a TikTok and a reel. It was the same video. It just went on Instagram and TikTok. I basically said, there's something wrong with these cars in comparison to what we were promised. Closer racing, more overtakes, better battles. Yeah, bullshit. We get absolutely none of that. I saw some smart ass comment. Yeah, it's also the tyres. Yeah, they're part of the regulations. This is not delivering. Whether it's because teams have found a way to, create a wake essentially that then leaves dirty air for the car behind, I don't know, but it's really, really uneventful, interesting racing. Is that due to the fact that the cars are fucking humongous? Potentially. But I cannot wait. I don't know if 2026 is going to make any difference. I actually don't even know what the 2026 regulations are meant to do. I should probably look into it a little bit more. But
we'll do that on the next podcast.
These cars are not it. I was thinking, right, now we've got a battle on our hands, surely. Because... the McLaren looked pretty good. It looked good for pace. Leclerc, surely he's going to go for the win. Perez, will he cut through the pack? I don't know why I thought that, because that was never going to happen. But we just didn't get anything. Like, we honestly, we just had a stalemate up front.
The only difference is, you know, Piastri did the undercut on Lando, so did Leclerc. Then all of a sudden, Piastri was asked to swap cars around with Lando. Lando overtook him. Lando believes that actually he would have caught, he would have finished P2 if he was pitted first. I don't know whether that's actually true or not, but, you know, it's still a solid weekend from the Ferraris and the McLarens.
Yep.
And actually, when you look at it going back, you know, Lewis Hamilton retired due to engine failure. And those Mercs looked very, very poor this weekend. Yes, okay, you can say George Russell, yeah, he's going for P6. He was going for P6, P5.
Yeah.
You know, that's not an improvement. That's not something to shout about.
No.
You know, realistically, Merck on the par with the Aston Martins. Lance Stroll had a very solid weekend this weekend. So did Alonso.
Yeah, you know, George was not really having much luck getting past Alonso. No.
And, you know, currently Mercedes are P5 in the constructors. And when you look at it, that they are probably the fifth best car on the grid.
Yeah.
You know, considering they were second last year, they've gone massively backwards. And the worrying thing for us as Mercedes fans is actually this is going to be a very, very long season. And I know what you said the other day is about, it's like, oh, it's very track specific. I don't even think it's track specific now. I think we're in this position now where other cars are so much stronger.
I think their errors, their issues are track specific. My point is like, this week they were good in the high speed corners, but they were poor in the slow speed corners. Yeah. Well, at Jeddah, they lost all their time in sector one in the high speed corners. So it's like, make your mind up. What's wrong with the car? Yeah. Is it the high speed? Is it the slow?
But I generally don't believe they know what it is, the error.
Well, no, they don't. I mean, they've openly come out and said it's not correlating with the sim. So, no, I don't know. I don't even know if they've got upgrades planned. At this point, I don't even care. I'm just looking forward to next season, seeing Lewis in red.
Yeah.
And you best believe I'll be buying a Ferrari top.
Yeah.
Because
you know, I did that TikTok about, you know, Lewis Hamilton is done with Mercedes.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of comments were kind of like, yeah, we agree, he is done. But there's a lot of comments as well going, well, no, actually, Mercedes are done with Lewis. No, Mercedes are lost. Mercedes are completely bamboozled where they are with their car at the moment.
George Russell said it best in Drive to Survive. If Lewis left now, it would kind of leave us in the shit because it looks like he's lost confidence in the team. Yeah, that's exactly what has happened. Why has he lost confidence in the team? Because they've dropped the ball 3 years in a row. So, yeah, I think Mercedes look more stupid without Lewis Hamilton than the other way around.
Yeah.
Lewis has made an absolute masterclass decision going to Ferrari, who look like they have closed the gap to Red Bull this season. Mm. Whether that's the, you know, law of diminishing returns based on Red Bull just not able to get as more speed, I don't know what the phrase is. But they have closed the gap and they've got big upgrades coming in Imola. They've actually got a small upgrade package coming to Japan as well. So we'll see if they can close the gap. I know Red Bull are going to bring upgrades, but you kind of think anything that Mercedes do at the moment, you kind of just think it's going to be like a laughing stock. It's like, oh, I brought upgrades, have you? What's that done? Like, nothing. Oh, yeah. Well, same as the last 3 years, 2 years, whatever.
And I think, you know, Lewis is obviously, I know some people also said, oh, yeah, but now Lewis is now being listened to about what they should change on the car. Well, actually, I think it's just a bit too late. And obviously, I think Lewis... Yeah.
And surely at this point, Lewis is like thinking, hang on, I don't want them to be competing. He's, oh, have you ever thought about just giving it three wheels instead of four? That's what I'd be doing if I was Lewis. I'd be like, nah, this wing's terrible.
Yeah.
Right down, what does that look like? I'll give that to the boys at Ferrari.
But no, Ferrari look good. And at this moment in time, it's looking like a very, very another master stroke for Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari next year. Right, I know we've got to go shortly, but two topics I really want to discuss. George Russell, the incident with Fernando Alonso. Did Fernando Alonso deserve the penalty?
I think the penalty... Here's the thing, right? I'm going to give a 60-second answer. I think Fernando's intentions... People talk about, oh, so now you can't slow down in corners to get traction out of it or whatever. I feel like it was Fernando's intention to... I feel like it was a dirty move. We've seen Fernando do stuff like this before. Now, I do understand the point of like, well, surely you've got to be able to take a corner how you like. But yeah, and that is true. But it did lead to an accident. So that's where I'm kind of 50-50. To me, it looked weird. Watching it straight away, I was like, why the hell has he taken so much speed out of that corner? He's hit the brakes so early. George has got right up close to him. That's obviously like really, I mean, firstly, it's probably caused a wake. And then you've seen him try to like steer out of it. So yeah, I don't know whether the penalty is harsh. I don't know. It's because you've got to strike that line between, was this a dirty move that was just like dangerous? Or actually, was it a tactical move to try and get out? And, you know, you can back drivers up. Let's not forget that. You absolutely can do that. But was that a dangerous place to do it? I'm not a steward for a reason.
No. It's a tough one. The more I've watched it, the more I just... It looks like George is going so heavy into that corner. He has no intention of even... slowing down properly.
See, I think it looks like that because Fernando slows.
Yeah, potentially. So and I think that gives you the different illusion, doesn't it? Of kind of like, for me, my initial thought was actually he's just gone way too heavy into that corner, lost it.
Because I think you see that he's going to hit the apex.
Yeah, but my initial reaction was like, that's just a typical George Russell
last lap thing. Yeah, that was my initial thought.
I get it, you know, if Alonso did break and it was showing that on the telemetry that actually he didn't do those in the other laps, then yes, okay, I agree. Do I think Alonso intentionally wanted to cause an accident? I don't think he did, because what are they fighting for? P6.
Yeah, I should make that clear. I absolutely don't think Alonso was trying to cause an accident. I just think he was...
But I do think also...
I think it was a naughty move that unfortunately led to an accident. Yeah. And that's what... If George didn't crash there, I don't believe there would have been any...
No, 100%.
Any consequence.
So do let us know on that. Finally, Carlos Sainz. Solid weekend. Really showed...
Pretty solid weekend. He did all right. One less organ than the average human.
Considering what he's been through, hasn't really been training. He hasn't been in the simulator. Had an operation 2 weeks ago. Back and going on and winning a race. You know, I did a TikTok about this the other day. For me, there's only two teams that make sense for him.
Red Bull
and Mercedes. But at this stage now, thinking about it, there's only one team that makes sense, and that's Red Bull.
Because what you also have to be considerate of is there are new regulations in 2026. Mercedes might have a banging car in 2026.
I don't think they know their arse from the head at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment they are probably in... At what point do they just say, fuck it? Fuck these regulations. We fucked them. Let's just throw everything at 2026.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's that long, is it? But okay. I did this the other day. There's only two teams that make sense.
Yeah.
Mercedes and Red Bull for Carlos Sainz. I don't see any other... If he goes to any other team, I do think that's a failure on him. Potentially Aston Martin... But I can't see him at the likes of Williams. I can't see him at the likes of Racing Ball, any of the ones like that. I think he deserves a top team. He's the best of the rest on the grid without a seat for next year. And if you're looking at free agency, for example, he's the top of the list, isn't he? There's no one better.
Oh, 100%.
There's no one better.
No, he's the cream of the crop for next year's transfer window.
You know, but like you say, if you're Red Bull, what type of driver do you want? Do you want someone who will literally just go and... be a part player like Sergio Perez with Max Verstappen, or do you want another driver like Carlos Sainz who will come in and compete?
This will be the dilemma for Red Bull. Is if they bring Sainz in, he will compete with Max. I do believe Max would beat him over a season.
Yeah.
But Sainz is not going to be as easy to beat as Perez.
No.
But with Ferrari getting closer and bringing Lewis Hamilton in, if Red Bull want to keep those Constructors' Championships, they're going to need two competitive drivers.
You can't have a Sergio Perez who's getting a P5. Perez should have won that race this weekend.
Yeah.
100%.
He absolutely should have. There is no excuse for
Do let us know, where does Carlos Sainz go next? It's an interesting one, but for me, there's only two teams. And if he goes to any other team, I'd be very disappointed for him, because I think that's he's shown enough that he is good enough to be in a top team. Anything else you want to talk about before you rush off and play your game?
I'm looking forward to Japan.
6 a.m.
6 a.m, which is a much more approachable time than 4 a.m, which takes the fucking piss.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to watching you get P11 in qualifying. Where are you racing?
It's Canada. It's one of my worst tracks.
Oh, yeah, you suck there.
Yeah, I'm really bad at Canada. So, yeah, not looking forward to this quali session. I actually can't connect to the EA servers. So.
That's good. So, yeah, that is the end of the podcast, guys. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Do get in touch. Do follow us on all social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Do
get in touch. Send us a letter to our P.O. box.
Send a letter. I like a little P.O. box. Luke will try and do some TikToks. He won't do it.
No, absolutely will. Absolutely will. It's so easy now with that new camera.
But yeah, have a good week. And we'll be back next week previewing Japan, which I'm very excited about. So yeah, take it easy. And I shall see you soon. Bye-bye.